parts. This secrete, because they meant this term for it, says, Ezo e avoda shebalei. What is the way we serve Hashem with our hearts? Have omer zu tefillah. That is the mitzvah of tefillah. So the Rambam makes the point, and we elaborate on this point in Hilchos Tefillah, in Mishnah Torah, that the Torah requires that we pray to Hashem once every day. Now, it does say the following. Number one, the specific text of the tefillah is not prescribed in the Torah. You're not going to open up a Kumash and find Shimon Esrei. So the nusach of tefillah is not in the Torah. And in fact, the Rambam says originally, every person would pray to Hashem in their own words. And that would be fine. And the nusach of the tefillah is midrabanan. And we'll see why that was so. But to pray once a day in your own words is a biblical requirement. And of course, the Rambam says, pray three times a day is also midrabanan. So the Doraisa is, any words you want, once a day, and that is a mitzvah, the Oraisa, uli abdo, b'chol b'rachem, and the Rabbanan added two takanas. Takana number one is nusach ha-tefillah, the words of Shmoneh Esrei. Takana number two is, either, well, this is back from Mar, it's a shiloh, but at least 2 days a day or 3 times a day. And particularly, Samanim, so that's Takana number three. Takana number three is the specific Samanim of tefillah, that chakras is only in the middle of the day. All of that is the Rabbanan, because the Oraisa, once a day will be fine. This is the Shitas HaRambam. The Ramban, Nachmanides, argues with the Ramban, and the Ramban actually says that there is no mitzvah min HaTorah to pray to Hashem. It's a wonderful thing to pray to Hashem, but it's not a chiyuv. It's not an obligation unless a person is in what is called an Eitz Tzara. Eitz Tzara means a time of adversity, a tragedy, a sickness. Then, of course, you're mechuyev to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that becomes a doraisa. But in the absence of an Eitz Tzara, the Ramban says, tefillah kol yom is midrabanan. Actually, Rassel Rejik, that's how Boston used to say that the reason the Ramban says is mitzvah every day is he agrees with the Ramban that there's only a mitzvah in the Eitz Tzara. But he considers all of life to be a perpetual Eitz Tzara, meaning to say, that doesn't mean, you know, life is bad, but it means to say that we always need God. In other words, we're always in that situation. It's not only when we're sick or whatever it is, but the human beings are in a perpetual life crisis. And therefore, the Tefillah is the
Oraisa.
Yes, that's a very good point. It is not from the Avdol Chol HaKadosh, but the Ramban in fact says, it's from the mitzvah of Chatzotros. The Torah says that when an enemy comes to attack you, you should blow the trumpets and be remembered before Hashem. The Ramban understands that to mean that we should gather people together by blowing the trumpets and they should pray to Hashem. So it's from the pasuk in Balosta, which deals with the blowing of the Chatzotros. And you can find the Ramban, if any of you have Sefer HaMitzvos, I hope you have it. Sefer HaMitzvos is written by the Ramban, but the commentary on the side, the main commentary is the Ramban, and if you look at Mitzvah Dalit, you'll see the Machlokas. The Ramban will say Tefillah is the Oraisa, and the Ramban says Tefillah is the Ramban. Meaning said following. By the way, they used to say, Teragaga, the Brisker Rav, the Mitzvah of Salvation, Rishon Rezalvich's uncle, and the Chaim Salvich's son. He always used to say that the Yavishmans all help him. And he's doing everything that's coming after. The Yavishmans help his help. So people were wondering why he was constantly saying this. So somebody thought, well, maybe he's very nervous, he's always afraid. So someone says, no. The Brisker Rav was such a Gedalia Kemitzos that wanted to follow the Shita of the Ramban that whenever you're in an Eitz Tzara, you're obligated to pray. Since he was never sure that given crisis was an Eitz Tzara or not an Eitz Tzara, he was always saying, maybe you should help. So he would fulfill the chiyuv of being this kalel to Hashem in Eitz Tzara. By the way, that's not a bad idea generally, not necessarily because of the Ramban issue, but it's a very, very good idea that we should be in the habits of praying to Hashem in our own words in the fact. Is that?
Huh?
But that's right, that's right. You see, see where that goes? It's so interesting. Just like the pilgrimage, right? Isn't that like the patients, you know, choosing the pilgrimage and shelters? Right? Those are traditional, he's got that question. I shouldn't say it all changes, because smarter may have different traditions, but at least standard Ashkenazi custom, pilgrimage and shelters. So you think it's just, you know, cuisine. But it's all based on halacha. Right, we have gefilte fish because taking bones out of fish is a shayla boer on Shabbos. So European housewives invented the type of fish, you know, where all the bones are removed before Shabbos. There was no issue of boer. The sholem was a problem because the Yinawah cooking Shabbos, of course, but the Tzedukim felt that when the Torah says you shouldn't burn a fire on Shabbos, they felt you have to sit in darkness. And we have to show that they were wrong. And how do we show they're wrong? By having lights near Shabbos, and by having food that is cooked over Shabbos, because you put it in the oven before Shabbos. And that's why the Talmud Torah says, anyone who does not eat shalom on Shabbos, one must suspect them of having tendencies of stupidity. What do you mean you don't eat shalom? That's because you're one of them, you know, you don't play right? So it's very, very interesting that even the foods that people eat are a reflection. And you're correct. Expressions like Rachmanim Islam, which means may the merciful one save us, and Hashem save us. All of these are to feel us to Hashem. And indeed, one might even say, every time you say Rachmanim Islam, you're a Makayim. A mitzvah to feel it though, right? So even like the Rabban, because you're praying to Hashem, so the Sarah should not be for you. So one cannot demean even the most, which might be the most trivial types of things that Jews do. Anyway, the point that I want you to see is that according to Rambam, tefillah exists on two levels. There is the Oraisa tefillah, which is once a day in your own words. That would be enough for the Oraisa. But then there's Rabbanan tefillah, which requires more than that, precise nusach and zman. Three times a day. Three times a day. Tomorrow we'll see the shadow. According to Ramban, however, other than the Yisorah problem, there is only one level of tefillah. In other words, you start off with a zero on the total level, and the Rabbanan simultaneously, in other words, the Rabban, except for Yisorah, you never had a situation where you were praying your own words, and then the Rabbanan changed that halacha and gave you a Yisorah. Rather, according to the Rabban, it started from zero, and the Rabbanan created both the obligation to daven every day, and the nusach of tefillah, and the idea of doing it two or three times a day. Now this has some major repercussions for women, not so much for men, but for women. And this is the problem. The other sentence, the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos that although women are exempt from reading Shema, because Shema is a positive commandment that is a time, although it's customary to reach Shema, and I expect that it's proper for you, as you already know, but Me'ikar Adin, women are exempt from Kriya Shema because it's a mitzvah to say Shema and Rama, but women are still obligated in tefillah. That's what the Mishnah says. Women are obligated in tefillah. So, what that statement means will depend on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam. Because that is this very day why we have in the Jewish world two distinct traditions, two distinct customs. According to the Rambam, what the Mishnah means is the following. Women are obligated in biblical, not rabbinic. They're not obligated in rabbinic tefillah, because since the Rabbanan made the tefillah at set times, morning and afternoon, it's taka a mitzvah sasei shasman grama. And just like they're not obligated in Shema, because it's madrama, they're not obligated, although they could if they want, they're not obligated in tefillah. But what are they obligated in? They're obligated in biblical tefillah. Why? Because biblical tefillah doesn't have any zman. Meaning, according to the Rambam's view, the woman's obligation in prayer is to pray once a day. And it could be chakras, it could be mincha, it could be myrrh, and not only that, but since the obligation is limited to biblical tefillah, it doesn't even have to be Eishmona Esrei, although it could be, of course, it could be a prayer of her own words. In other words, according to the Rambam's understanding, although the Rambam didn't say it in Yiddish, but the Achronim extrapolated the Rambam's understanding, the woman's obligation is limited to go rice and to her, and therefore there will be a very great leniency in what a woman would have to do. According to the Ramban, however, it's impossible to learn that way, because according to the Ramban, there is no biblical level of tefillah. It's all or nothing. In other words, if the Mishnah says women are chayavos in tefillah, there is only one kind of tefillah, the sotah. Therefore, according to the Ramban, it turns out like this. The Mishnah is saying women are as obligated as men in the davening of Shmona Esrei. Ah, you'll ask me, Akasha, it's the testation about the Rebbe. So according to the Ramban, what the Gemara has to be, what the Mishnah has to be saying is that even though it's Isman Rama, Tefillah is one of the many exceptions to Isman Rama principle, simply because Tefillah is such a necessity of life that it overrides Isman Rama. No, there are many, many exceptions to Isman Rama exemption, such as a woman here in Kiddush, etc., a woman in Matza, Seder. So according to the Ramban, it's an exception. So according to the Ramban, Tefillah is not an exception to Isman Rama. Rather, a woman's obligation of tefillah is the type of tefillah that's not Zman Rabbi. This is Maimonides. According to non-Maimonides, the idea of tefillah is an exception. Now, the prevailing practice among the newer generation of very, very conscientious young women is to talk to Davin, Shachris, and Mitzvah. And this is in accordance, Myra will talk about this, that Myra is a little different, and this is in accordance, you see, with the Ramban's opinion. See, this is a little anomalous here, because what we're saying is, the Ramban that says tefillah is not the oraisa, it's going to turn out he has a stricter view of what women must have, because there is no oraisa prayer. So therefore, Mishnah Berurah rules, for example, that it is proper to follow the Ramban's opinion. Therefore, it's proper for women to daven shachris and mincha. However, it is also well known that in Eastern Europe, many, many women—sometimes even more than me—but many, many women did not daven a full shachris or mincha, and they were summoned on the Rambam's opinion. And according to the Rambam, they would say a Yiddish shechina, a Yiddish prayer, or some say moda ani itself is enough according to the Rambam. The Rabbi Kamenetsky used to say that the last of the Birchas Hashachar, I mean all of them, Amavir Shein Amenina, which talks about Hashem protecting me and not leaving me to Zion, the Yaakov said that was true. Now, Lemaisa, what this means is the following. You have to ask, you know, your individual question or rulings, but we still very much sometimes rely on the Rambam's view for women to have children, for women that are Osei and the Mitzvah, taking care of their children. They still must stop. No question, but they can be yotzei with the shita of the Rambam with a mechina or even of their own words or of the Birchas Hashachar or the like. However, it is true that it is meritorious, as the Shibur says, for the woman to daven shachris. But what I want you to see is that ultimately this stems from the two interpretations of the Mishnah statement, Nashim Chayavos B'Tefillah, depending on how the Rambam will understand it, and depending on how the Ramban will understand it. According to the Rambam, there are two levels of tefillah. There is tefillah d'oraisa and tefillah d'rabbanan, and the Mishnah just means women are obligated in the raisa level, but not the rabbanan level. According to the Ramban, since there is no d'rabbanan level, there is no d'oraisa level, then by definition, the Mishnah means women have the full obligation. And even though it's Isman Rama, tefillah is so important that it overrides what would normally be the exemption of time out. Everyone who will propagate it, let me know what question they have. Say again? That's right, and that's fine, because again, when the Ramban and the Mishnah say, Noshin Halavos B'Tefillah, it doesn't mean Shmuel Nesra. Well, yes, but again, it may very well be that the debate or whatever on each year to say breakfast will be moved around, then the Sherman is going to have to stay together. Yes, if you had a choice, which one to say Sherman is going to be moved around? Yes, that's another thing. It's very interesting that although the tefillah is the Shemone Esrei, but there's a separate tefillah of Birkas HaTorah because you're not allowed to study Torah until you say Birkas HaTorah. Well, strictly speaking, you are allowed to daven before you say Birkas HaTorah. And it's not considered the Dina HaTorah per se. But you couldn't do my furnish rates in the school. Now, the truth is, that's also my focus. Now, I'm reading my focus here. There isn't my focus whether women have to learn Birkas HaTorah. Some people say they don't, because they don't have a technical obligation to learn Torah. However, we postulate that women do have to learn Birkas HaTorah. So if you are planning on learning Torah like that, which hopefully you'll be doing, you do have to say Birkas HaTorah. That's not in the field, that is not because it's gotten. It's because it's not allowed to drink water, sitting in the shower. Oh, you're not allowed to work in total if you have a beer or
okay.
Yes, that's a very excellent point. And this is a discussion among the worship. And that is, the Rambam tells us, that prayer, the raisa, can be in your own words. It doesn't have to be described. No, it's very good. Now, the Rambam doesn't say the beish has to be osteoma, which is correct, but some say that even the Rambam that allows spontaneous prayer, the yodza and the mitzvah, does require the three elements that we have in Shemone Esrei. Now, all of us know that the three elements that we have in Shemone Esrei are the first three brachos are called Shvach, we praise Hashem. The next brachos are called Bakasha, we ask Hashem for things. And the third group is called Hoda'a, we express gratitude. So many portions say, yes, the Rambam says, the Arise, you don't have to have Shemone Esrei, but you do have to have a tefina or a prayer that is Shvach, Bakasha, and Hoda'a. Now, if you take Hoda'ani, for example, Hoda'ani, I thank you, Hashem, for giving me my life, that's Hoda'a, but you don't have a preliminary Shabbat or Kasha. That's why the Rambam specifically pointed out that if you look at the Birkas HaShana, the last Birkas HaShana, you have Shabbat, Kasha, and Hoda'a. So he said, that got actually had a feeling. But you're correct, that's been my focus in the Rambam, how little you can get away with in terms of your prayer practice.
And
other yes, that's why I kept saying two words to you. I'll talk about the third time. But the Rabbanim were misaken multiple times. It's just a moment you two times or three times. My way is a machlokes in the water. It is a tool for a man or a man. But that's good. But we'll all get there. At this point, there's a concept of more than once. At least two times. Okay.
Now, though, that we're not married and we don't have children, we begin davening in Shachas and Mincha.
Yes.
If we begin davening it now, do we have to continue even if our situation in life changes?
Well, the thing is this. You run into a perennial problem, that is, practices that one takes on without saying the Veli Neder may become like a vow to follow a certain practice. And therefore, it is proper when you begin a minhag like this to say you're doing a Veli Neder. And if you didn't do a Veli Neder, and you feel that your life situation changes and it's necessary to be lenient, you should go to a Beis Din or have your husband go to a Beis Din, and on Erev Rosh Hashanah, get Hataras Nidoran. It doesn't have to be Erev Rosh Hashanah, anytime. Even in the middle of the year, you get Hataras Nidoran. So that's correct. In other words, you're not stuck with it. I don't want to say stuck, you're stuck, but it's not something you're automatically going to do. So, but again, this explains why there are different conditions. And in fact, it's very interesting. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah that women should daven a shachris and a mincha every day. It is brought out that his own mother did not daven a full shachris. His own mother would just say, "We're in the mission." But she said, "No, but also, but the daven was mission to us." So it's interesting that particularly when you have children, it was not the custom in Eastern European homes for women to dive into bull shakas. It's more of a recent innovation. It's a chumra. And again, it's a very proper thing, but it is a chumra that people have. Now again, though, it seems to me, but it seems that women may have a certain element of flexibility here in terms of kavanah. Let's say, if I have to dive in the bull shakas, my kavanah is lousy. But if I could focus it on a shorter prayer, my kavanah would be much more intense. A man doesn't have that choice. A man is mechuyav, according to all opinions, to daven with a certain shorter tefillah. It could be by a woman, if with a shayla follows the Ramban's view or the Ramban's view. One might ask the shayla whether greater kavanah would be a reason to follow the Ramban's view. I'm not sure we're talking at all, but it's something that one might think about.
Why did there have to be such lesser expectations on women? Like, can't she deal with it? You know, say, like, can't she say, I'm choosing 5 minutes on my day, I'm working on
it? Sure, absolutely, definitely. It's not a question of lesser expectations. For those who can do it, can do it. But it is recognized, as we know, that women historically, and according to the Torah, have been more primarily involved in the way they raise their children than men. And it's recognized that that is such a sacred and heavy responsibility that the Torah gave women the option of feeling it's not between their age and their So it's not saying that women are less capable. Certainly, if you put a man and a woman in the same identity situation, a woman might be better than that. That's not the issue. The issue is that women don't have the same situation. And consequently, the Torah has to go into allowances for what that involves. Okay, but again, I don't want to get too complicated with the here because I know that it will be very complicated. But let me just mention one other ramification of this that's very interesting. And that is, ironically, the Rambam's view that women are yotze with less people, as they can do with the chakra or the earth, can have a chumra on Shabbos morning. Let me explain why this is so. The halacha is that once you have fulfilled your mitzvah of shachris, however that is defined, you're not allowed to eat anything until you recite kiddush. So let me give you a very question. You got a brother and a sister. You got a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy. And they're going to show on shachris. 12-year-old girl, 13-year-old boy. They're going to show on shachris. Before they go to show, they both recite the Birchos HaShachar. They both recite the morning brachos. Now, right before they go to shul, after they recite the morning brachos, they now want to have a cup of unsweetened feet, which you're allowed to have before that. So, as the girl and the boy come up with food, and the boy is drinking his tea, and the girl is watching the shahakal, and the boy says, you can't do that. You've got to make kiddush. Why is that? Because the concept is this. The boy who said morning brachos has absolutely not fulfilled his shachris obligation. And since the boy has not fulfilled his shachris obligation, it is as if he's still before davening. And since it's as if he's still before davening, whatever you're allowed to eat before davening, you get a different puppy, but certainly not sweet and thin you're allowed to have, he can have without kiddush. But the girl, since according to the Rambam, she has fulfilled her form of davening shachris, even though she's planning on doing more, so the argument is, she is now chayeves in Yiddish, and she would not be allowed to eat until she made Yiddish. Now, this is for the Rambam. According to Ramban, however, since she is chayeves, she's in the same position as her brother, and therefore she too would have to eat before kiddush. So it's interesting that you see how a leniency in one area can actually lead to a stricter. I mean, it's not a big deal to make kiddush, just make kiddush. Not that it's a tremendously difficult thing, but it does impose an extra level of obligation. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva that that's not true for married women. Rav Moshe basically says that a married woman said to our host, she's allowed to eat without kiddush before her husband comes home because she follows her husband's law. It's a consideration that once a single girl says breakfast, there are some posts that say Again, other books from our mail, so I'm not going to give you the sign. I'm just trying to show you some of the Hawaii things. Now, one thing the Robinson did.
There is a thing you get, I'm seeing how you can get that you don't have to grab and set yourself up and get yourself up and then on the other side, you have to grab and get shot. Where is anyone that you just have to grab and shot?
No. If you're only doubling chakras, even if you're stationary messer, that is simply following the Ramban. I'm sorry. Following the Ramban and using Shmon Esrei for your own prayer.
But do people just assist the Ramban if they want to? I don't know, the Ramban? Or, like, does it set what your mother does? Because last people have just done it.
Well, a lot of people don't use it.
Well, the thing is that I don't know, it depends on the person. If your mother, if they only got the chakras, you're entitled to follow the religious custom, which is following the Ramban, but I think you should really say that you should try to restrict you if you can. But the point is that the idea of dominating only chakras is only based on the Ramban. It's not based on the Ramban, there can be no exclusion. Smarter than the But according to the Ramban, chakras are even very safe. So it's simply the Ramban. And even if you could have gotten by this morning, of course, so you're using the Shabbat for pleasure and the Shabbat, but you know, that's the basis of that. Now, keep in mind that all the other stuff, Kriya Shema and the Dharmas, all of that is essentially more or less external, though it is worth telling Halakha that a woman should endeavor to at least say the first plus of the Shema, not because of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, but because it is accepting your king, above all Malach Shema. Again, because of that, maybe one says Shema and Brachos, etc. If you have to take only one thing at the same shot, it's probably going to be Shema and Ezra. See, it's interesting. If a man could only daven in one thing, for whatever reason, a man is given 5 minutes, and then he can't daven. So what should a man do? If a man had to pick one thing in shakras to daven, what thing would a man do? A man would have to pick Shema. Why? Because Shema is clearly in the Torah, and Tefillah is a machlokes d'rabbanan and d'rabbanan. A woman would not pick Shema, because Shema for a woman is clearly exempt. She's clearly Kotzer. And it's here we have my focus, right? So this is for a woman, the Shemona Esra is more important than the Shema. And for the man, the Shema is more important than the Shemona Esra. Anyway, the Rambam goes on. Just go back to the Rambam for a second. So the Rambam says, the Arisa, there was such a thing as spontaneous prayer in your own words. But in the time of Esra, which is the time of the second phase of English, the Anshei Knesset Kavdola, right, they made a nusach for Shimon and Esrei. And why did they do this? The Rambam says, because Ezra and his Chachamim saw that people were less and less capable of expressing prayer in their own words. And therefore he wanted to give them a nusach by which they could connect to Hashem. But the Sforim say, Rabbi Musser in particular say, that although the Rambam says fixed prayer was the replacement for spontaneous prayer, it really should not replace spontaneous prayer. Rather, a yid should still be, as I said before, should still be in the habit of praying and turning to Hashem many, many times a day for help. And if you read about the lives of people like Chafetz Chaim and the like, you always see that they were always talking to the Rosh Hashanah. And they were talking to the Rosh Hashanah in their own words, not even in English. They were talking in Yiddish, they were talking in English, or whatever language is your first language. To talk to the Rosh Hashanah, and particularly the Rosh Hashanah is someone that is listening and cares. And one should be rahil with that, because otherwise there is a tremendous sakana of what is called making your tefillah say keva. Keva means set and fixed and all of that. And the way you get it out there is by learning to talk to the Rosh Hashanah. Now that Dr. Abraham Twersky, who wrote a book about Yitz and Yanni, recounts that when he first understood what the spontaneous prayer was, he went to the Kotel, and there was an old Spartan man who was blind, and his grandchildren, he took him up to the Kotel, and he just started talking to the wall, like he was talking to someone, of course, he went up to the Rosh Hashanah.
said, "Oh, Hashem, you know, it's like they had to be fortunate that they had to be. And I had this problem, and I really need help. But I know you'll help, and I just want to remind you a little bit." And I think that theologically don't make a lot of sense, obviously, but the sense of talking to the Rosh Hashanah as a real presence. And he said for the first time he understood what it means to have Sikha. Right? Tefillin is called Sikha. How do you know Yitzchak was Musaka Mincha? By Yitzchak and Yitzchak was Suach Pasayim. Now what is Sikha? Conversation. You're talking to the Rosh Hashanah. And among many Chassidim, among Breslau in particular, there's a whole avoda that is called Hispoderus. What is Hispoderus? You kind of get away from people, you go out into the fields, and you start yelling and screaming and talking to the Rosh Hashanah. And one should be regular in this. This is something that unfortunately, we get into the habit of fixed studying, and we forget about the notion of the spontaneous crying of the soul, which is still very much. Why the Chachamim enacted Mitzvos? Now remember, according to the Rambam, the Raisin is one, the Rabbanim is three, according to Rambam, he had zero, and the Rabbanim made three or two. Well, I'll talk about Raisin if you return in a moment. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the origin of the Tfilos came from what the others did. That Avraham Avinu enacted Tfilas Shachris, Yitzchak enacted Tfilas Mincha, and Yaakov enacted Tfilas Harvest. Now, here, I think you have to understand, it's not really clear. The Gemara doesn't... The simple meaning of the Gemara is not that... See, if you read it that Avraham made it mandatory that his descendants got in Shachris, and Yitzchak made it mandatory that his descendants got in Mincha, then that would already be, by the time we had a first place on the bench, people have to got in Shachris and Mincha. I would suggest that the Gemara doesn't mean that Avraham made it mandatory. It didn't become mandatory until the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah at the beginning of the second temple. And indeed, perhaps it didn't become mandatory until after the Korban, although they made it as a Korban. Rather, the Gemara just means that the innovator of the idea of praying to God in the morning was Avraham, the innovator of praying to God in the afternoon was Yitzchak, the innovator of praying to God at night was Yaakov, but it didn't become mandatory on Israel in Rabbah until much later. Now, what are the psukim that show this? As our darshan, that it says by Abraham, by Yashpeh, Abraham Baboke, he got up in the morning, as our food that means tefillah, with Yitzchak, it says, right, the gates of Yitzchak, Basuach, Basamah, right, the rift is coming, and she falls off the donkey when she sees him. She's only 3 years old, after all. But Yitzchak's learning how to converse with Hashem. And then Yaakov, by Yitka, by Matai, he encountered the place, by Yom Hashem, and the Yitka, to encounter his tefillah. Now, that's one of it. The tefillos were based on the hanhagos of the others. Opinion number two, the tefillos were designed to replace the Korbanos. Right, based on the Pasuk, right? Moshea, Neshama, Korbanos, Paseini. Now, let's think about that. So the morning Shachris is connected to the daily Tamid of the morning. The Mincha offering is connected to the Tamid Shalbein Harabayim, right, the afternoon offering. And the Myrit prayer is connected, right, whatever was left over was burnt overnight. Now, that's one of our goals. So my focus number one in the Gemara is, are tefillos keneged avos, or are tefillos keneged tamidim, to be daily offerings? Now, there's another machlokes. Let's see if we can connect. There's a machlokes number two, whether the obligation to daven several times a day includes mayim. According to my opinion, the only obligatory prayer is Shachris and Mincha, and Mariv is considered to be optional. That's called Mishus. According to another opinion, Tfilas Arvis is Chov. Now again, don't confuse it with Kriya Shema. According to everybody, at least for a man, the Kriya Shema of Mariv is absolutely a mitzvah nilas. That's not the issue. The question is the Shema Ezra of Mariv. Now, we have to get to it.
Because
the level is not broken after you make the marriage. And if there was nothing left over, you didn't have to do it. Right, excellent. That's, I believe, your comment to Bnei Yeshua. Now, Bnei Yeshua wants to suggest that these two machlokes are in fact connected, meaning if the tfilos are kineged avos, then shachris, mincha, and marriage would be of equal importance. If the tfilos are kineged the tamidim, that would explain why tfilos arvis is reshus, because after all, the morning offering, the afternoon offering, the hatahat, but the leftovers were burnt only if there were leftovers. They didn't have to be any leftovers. That was made marriage optional. However, that is a very logical explanation, but it is not consistent with the halakha. Let me explain why. The Rambam postulates in the Sefila that Sefilos originate because of the others. And the Rambam also postulates that Margaret is an optional prayer. So don't try it, right? Now let me just explain why Mar being an optional prayer, just so you should. Yeah, the Rambam, my mind. Yeah. Let me just explain why, what do we mean by Mar being optional. Everybody's moment today that because Jewish people have accepted upon themselves that in Israel, it becomes an obligation, as any minhag, but strictly speaking, it has become an obligatory minhag, but it was not an original that comes from it. Now that is why, we used the word rules, that even women who follow the Ramban's opinion, that they should be chayav in tefillah, only are chayav in the tefillos that are chiyuvim for men, which is shachris and mincha. But mariv, which even for a man is not a chiyuv, it's a reshus. Consequently, women generally do not accept that as a chiyuv to make their binding minhag. That is the basis for davening just shachris and mincha, not mariv. Now the earth is shulchan in the beginning, simply writes. But women should have the mariv as well. So again, I'm not clear what the minute is for most people. Most people adopt the mariv, or most don't have the mariv, and everyone will vote. But it is different from my focus. My understanding is the prevailing minute is most women do not adopt the mariv, and they were providing these reshus. But here is the word that I want to leave you with today. That is, this is the kasha that we're excited about. But it's not a cancer patient. The Rambam Paskins, Tfilos, are because of the others. And yet, we also Paskin, Tfilos, Arvis, Rishos. The question is, Yaakov Avinu is considered to be the greatest of the others, right? Abraham, Hadi Ishmael, says the following. Morning is a time of hope and optimism and joy. as you face a new thing. Now, people tend to feel a little better in one that is even on a halakha that says you don't visit a sick person the first 3 hours of the day. Why? Because they're probably going to feel so good that you're not going to pray for them. And you shouldn't visit them in the last 3 hours of the day or night, because they're probably feeling so lousy that they give up hope and you're not going to pray for them either. You should visit them in the middle of 3 hours. So Shacharis is a kind of, again, of course, all is well, they're tired and everything else, but still, there's kind of a sense, it's another day, you know, there's hope here. So Shacharis is a kind of optimism and hope and thanksgiving. And therefore, the dominant emotion of the morning is one of gratitude and hope. And that is why Avraham Avinu's prayer was a Shacharis prayer. Because Avraham Avinu was zeichet in his life, particularly after the 10 stillness, to see kemat, all of the blessings of Hashem, fulfilled in his life. He was perhaps a child, he didn't look like he had a child, but at 100 years old, he had a good son. Even the Shemayim came back to him. Right after Sarah died, the Shemayim was cheap. And Esav, as you know, did not become an open Russia until after the day of the fire. Remember that Yitzchak is cooking all the lentils because he's sitting shitless for his father. And Rashi explains that Hashem's bracha, ba'atza havo el alayzacha v'shalom, tikaver v'seva tovo. That Hashem promised Abraham, you will be buried in good old days, which is that Abraham did not see any of his children. He was injured 5 years earlier, and that's true. But the point is, he was given the bracha and not seen the riches of his Yishmael came back and said, I mean, you're correct, Hashem could not, it's a complicated thing. Hashem could not interfere with Asa's retreat. So Asa was better than Russia, Hashem can't stop him. But Hashem gave Avram the bracha, and Avram would not see it, Avram would not experience the opposite. So therefore, what Sadr says, the prayer of Avram is the prayer of the emotion within us to be grateful for the chaste Hashem, and to see the joy in the life. That's no doubt. I thank Hashem that he gave me that kind of shyness. Mincha is a different type of prayer. Although Mincha Kedola is still high noon, but the real time you're supposed to have the Mincha is right before sunset. It's even not happy about that, but right before sunset, as the sun is setting. Now, if you ever saw a picture of the New York Stock Exchange before closing, around then, because it's 4 or 5 p.m., there's a tremendous mad rush as they're trying to get in that those last meals before the bell rings and everything stops. Yep. When you had a society which didn't have electric lights, when it got dark, you had to stop working. One can imagine that if there's a lot of work left to be done in the fields to get the animals in and harvest the grain, and the sun is going down, you have this rush against the sun with a certain panic. Will I be able to do what I'm going to do? Or am I going to lose this? But Sadr says, this is very appropriate to Yitzchak Avinu's. Because on one level, Yitzchak Avinu is very wealthy. On one level, Yitzchak Avinu is very successful. But at the other level, he is beginning to feel the lengthening shadows of the goddess. You know, of course, that when Hashem told Adam, there will be 400 years of goddess. Those 400 years beginning from there. Why is this? You're an Eretz Yisrael. I mean, what do you mean we come from the birth of Yitzchak? The answer is because Yitzchak was made to feel like a stranger. His wells get filled up. Hey, you're asking. I always think of the Jews in Germany in the early 1930s, before Hitler started the concentration camps. You know, you're still allowed to be there, but you begin to get the feeling you're not really there. Yitzchak Avinu experienced gayness, what it was like to be a stranger. See, I wasn't a Jew. Keep in mind, the Brisbane of Sarim didn't say they have to be a Jew. It says, They will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and even in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak had a hard Russian, the kingdom of the Gera. They're being the stranger, not conquered, but the strangers. Therefore, as Tzaddik says, that's mincha. Mincha is you're still grateful for what Hashem gives you, but you begin to see the shadows. You begin to see it slipping away from you. And you pray to Hashem, please, Hashem, don't let me lose this. Don't take it away from me. And that is why mincha is bedavka, as the son said. That's a little gola had the misses this book. You can go with the Madonna in the middle of the room. You don't have that. It's a sense of trepidation, a sense of duty. That's mincha. We now come to Ma'ariv. When was Yaakov Masak in Ma'ariv? But he had a matter in biology. So what's going on? What's he saying? Right? What's he doing? He's 63 years old, Rashi says. Right? He's very old. He's not even a man. He doesn't have a wife. He just took the blessing from Esav. Esav swore that he's going to kill him. Yaakov leaves, if you recall, Rashi brings a metric that Eliphaz, Esav's son, took all of his wealth. So Yaakov is penniless. He's 63. He doesn't have a wife. He thinks, although Yitzchak lived many more years, it's funny that Yitzchak lived many, many more years after this, but everyone thinks Yitzchak's going to die real soon. So he thinks he's never going to see his father again. He's leaving the holiness of Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Lawrence, and he's going to a Lavan where he's very afraid that if Esav is going to kill his body, Lavan is going to teach him how to be dishonest and a cheat. That's why Yaakov learned 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Yehuda before he went to Lavan's house. He needed to do the chazak. In fact, it's so interesting that when Lavan welcomes Yaakov, and Lavan says, "You're my brother." He's his uncle. But Rashi says, "Why is the brother called Yaakov's brother?" He says, "You and me are buddies. You're a cheater, I'm a cheater. We'll get along great." Of course, remember when Laban switches Rachel and Leah and Yaakov, and all of a sudden Laban is so self-righteous, Laban says, in our place, we don't give away the abundantly for the way. Rashi says, he's going to Yaakov, maybe where you come from, younger people cheat older people. Okay, where I come from, we're good and moral. That's funny how Laban, after he cheats Yaakov, makes a speech out, I'm good tomorrow. We don't let the younger people take over than the older people. So the point is this. If Avraham Avinu's prayer is the prayer of Hakara Satan, for all the good that you have, and if Yitzchak's prayer is the person that still has bracha inside, but is slipping away and he's panicking and asking Hashem, please let me hold on to it. My rib is the prayer of the person with the rock bottom. That is why my ring is what you pray when it's dark. When it's dark, there's no light. There seems to be no hope. And that is why my ring is called the prayer of a woman. Right? What he said after Kriya Shema in the morning, Hashem Elokeichem, and this, we say Vayat Siv. That Siv means it is firmly standing. In Myra, you say, M.S. Yamuna, because the concept is, in daylight, which is a metaphor of the blessing of goodness, God's truth is firm and clear. At night, which is a metaphor for Gaulus, the Korban, the tragedy, one does not have a clear vision of Hashem's eyes, but one has a mirror on one's head. See, so now you may ask, Pasha, didn't Yaakov Avinu have a vision of an angel and Hashem promising him? No, that came after he prayed. What comes? By Yitzchak, Amaka, and Bayol and Shem. He encountered God and he prayed to God. And what happened, remember, the sun set right away. It was still daytime and it set. And he's plunged into darkness and he prays. Only after he prays. Don't be confused. He didn't pray when he had a vision of the ladder. He prayed when he was in total darkness, and then he got the vision of the Lord. That was Hashem's answer. So look at 57 says, with some sense, you know why Nidah is an optional prayer? Not because it's the least important prayer, but because it represents the amount of greatness that is so hard to reach that we have to try to reach it, but Hashem could not make it appeal for it. And that is, everybody can be expected to be mock your toe for the good of your life. Even an animal is mock your toe. You better go up and look. I remember when I was a kid, there was a dog, the neighborhood used to feed, and then I moved out of the neighborhood. And I came back 4 years later to visit somebody. And this dog looked and stared for a while, and then drank it up with me and ran over looking for food. So, a car is a toe, even an animal has. Yada shor kaineu, the Shayot says. The shore knows who feeds it. The chamor equals to all of them. The chamor knows the trap of the tongue. So that is a chiyuv. Mincha, when you feel that things are, you're losing it, you turn to Hashem. But how do we, as a poet, that even in the holidays, even in the fall, even when everything was taken away, even when there seems to be no hope, they still have the mood of Hashem will help. Hashem will be with you. Hashem cares for you. That's a high level. But Sarek says, the fact that it's a reshus simply states the fact that it's an aspiration that we try to strive for, but it's not something that we will necessarily, right? Here is what you must do. This is something you can't say you must do, because not all of us can use that kind of thing, but we try to. So he beautifully says that, but that is exactly what I'm not able to do. That is, the fear of darkness is the one whose tefillah is considered to be religious. So your explanation might be very good explanation, but when you say it, they want to say that the tefillah of darkness for sure, so only if I say it's connected to Eden, but for Halakha that doesn't work, because Rav Tzadok says, therefore, even if the tefillah is darkness, the darkness is for sure. And Rav Tzadok says, that is the meaning, this is the famous story, and in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, "Lahagid baboker chastecha." In the morning of my life, I see your chesed. In nascha baleilos. So when my life is dark, I don't always see the chesed. But my illumin is what will carry me through the nascha baleilos. So, although, you see, Shachris, Mincha, Magid have same words. And the Shvach, Hodah, and Bakasha, they have all of those evidence in every speaker. But you see, there's a certain predominance, a predominant thrust of a Shachris, who's one of Hakaras Hatov, the predominant thrust of a Mincha is one of Bakasha, and the predominant thrust of a Magid is Bakasha of a Mincha. And when a person has a Mincha, it's not merely they see the light at the end of the tunnel, but they see a light even in the darkness itself. Not simply there's light over there. They say, as Ramon Fuddle was dying, his reverence was trying to comfort him. I said, it will be good. And Ramon said, no, 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 I have to feel that he's good right now. It will be good. It's okay. So it's Hashem, none of you should probably think about the notion of the Nashish and Nunu. But through this, everyone has darkness. The darkness of being the Tsaras of Paul Israel. The darkness of being the Tsaras of the Lord. Whether they are hospitals of sickness, or whether they're depression, or loneliness, whatever those things are. And I'll tell you another thing, too, because I'm not sure if it is what that this forum said, that when a person feels alone, isolated, and is distant, they are not connected, because on some level, that is when the person is the closest to God. Because Hashem is also called in the Bible, it says in Yeshayahu, in Tafa Mashiach, the Miska Hashem Uvada, and when Yaakov thought of the angel, or he uses the phrase, but it was Vasea, Yaakov Uvada. God is the word, his moment, and who is Hashem? Tell his problems, as it were. But his work recycles the entire universe. and heal the whole historic world. So when a person heals without knowing the first and the second, that is when you see the greatest achievement of the world. He is also a human and God. Therefore, by definition, one is never alone. Because all this time,